podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
I had a situation yesterday that I kind of don't know how to take. So there was a tradie in the office right here.
Yeah.
And whenever I see tradies in the building, I always say, oh, g'day. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
Well, you like to make them feel welcome in the
workplace.
Well,
yeah. But also it's like they're doing a job and they're probably like, hey, I'm just here doing a job or whatever.
Stop talking to me, lady.
Yeah. If there's other people around, probably not. But if it's like a one-on-one sitch... And this guy was in the kitchen, right? So I walked in. I'm like, oh, g'day. How are you?
Yeah. I will give him a g'day as I walk past.
Yeah.
But that's where it ends.
Nah, it depends. You know me.
You engage. Oh, my God.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
How's it? Oh, yeah. What are you up to today? Yeah. Oh, fixing whatever. Yeah. Cool. That's nice. Anyway, so then I said my initial g'day and then I went to the toilet and then I came back out and he was still there and he's like, oh, hey, can I ask you something? I'm like, yeah. You know, because then I felt like it was kind of like we were on that, oh, yeah, you know, how's it going? Like, I'd seen him, it was probably like the second or third time I'd seen him.
I hate all of this. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. And he's like, oh, do you do the Brekkie show?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And then I pointed to there's the photo of me and you that was there in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Right? And you know how much I love this photo that's up on our billboards and stuff. It's so.
Why won't you let me change it then?
No. Because the reason you want to change it is because you've had a glow up. Sorry, I've gotten worse since then, and that's just a bad photo of me. So if you want to go and where you want a photo where you want to be in a tank top.
Guys, this is – we got photos of me in a tank top.
Well, exactly.
Atrocious.
We'll just switch you out. They already CGI'd your chin strap.
Yeah, I know. It's,
but
I
we need
like
a mustache on your face. We definitely need a mustache. It's not. You're too. Yeah. Anyway.
This is what I'm working with. I hate those photos of us. Let's get new ones then. No way.
Absolutely not.
Got to keep those photos of us. I hate them, but I've got to keep them.
You get one then. I can't go through that process again. You know how bad I am on photo day.
When you say you can't, so we usually do it every couple of years. Those ones are like 6 years old. So you've had a really good run, mate.
Mate.
This could be the moment I tell you.
Mate.
Photo shoot time.
They're not. Guess what? You do it. I'm sticking my chin out at you right now. Don't care. Anyway, so he goes, oh, yeah, that's right. And he goes, yeah, that is you in the picture. Oh, I didn't recognise you.
Oh.
Right? See? And I said, yeah, I know, See? Right? Anyway, and I walked off and I thought, okay, did he not recognise me because the photo is so bad that I look so good in real life? Or did he not recognise me because the photo looks better than what I look like now? How do I take that statement?
Well, in the photo, your hair is brushed.
Oh, man, so, come on.
So, I mean, that's probably a start.
Yeah.
Right?
Nah. Do I take, because it's like, I didn't recognise you.
Yeah.
Am I taking that in a positive way
or
a negative way?
Yeah.
I don't know. And you don't know either.
I don't know either. Oh. I don't just say the wrong thing. Forget I said anything.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
K-Rock 955, it's Tom and Loggy doing it for Mimosa Homes. Very exciting because World Record Store Day is this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very special man that is joining Chris and the Great Ocean Nodes crew at Pop Culture Records. And he's also doing a gig the night before at the Bowen Club. His name is Newton Faulkner and he joins us on the line now. Good morning, Newton.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
We're great. It's so good to see your beautiful face again. It's been so long.
It has been a little while. Yeah, I'm trying to think when I was... Every time I do an interview, they say I haven't been here for a different amount of time. And
yeah.
I actually don't. I don't know anymore.
Well, that's because time keeps moving. So sort of, yeah.
The longest I've had in the last few days was, I think, 5 years. And I'm sure it hasn't been 5 years.
Yeah.
Can't have been.
You've just started the tour and everything. And I've noticed as well, thank you for being so open on your Instagram and really giving us a sense of what you're like as a person, which I love because we don't get that with a lot of artists. But one of the things that is crazy to me is that it's been blowing your mind that you've come halfway across the world and everyone knows the lyrics to all of your songs. Of course, Newton.
I mean, that is amazing. It's always been about. I remember the first First time I ever came to Australia, I got off a plane and I was like bumbling around on my own with like baggage and things were falling off my trolley and I was putting them back on, like classic kind of airport stuff. And someone just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, excuse me, are you Neon Fortner? I was like, yeah, but this is the furthest I've ever been from home in my entire life.
Yeah.
And people know who I am just at the air. I've only just got off the plane. It just blew my mind completely. It's amazing.
That Dream Catch Me era, Handbuilt by Robots, the album comes out and blows up. How do you navigate that as a guy with a guitar? Did that change your life?
Oh, completely. No, it changed everything. And it was totally unexpected to everyone involved. and definitely me. Like, no one saw it coming.
Yeah, right.
It just kind of went, and it went so much further than anyone thought was possible. And it was incredibly exciting and incredibly just nuts. There's a whole period where I can remember like little fragments, and they're like fragments of being on like Japanese television.
Yeah.
Like just really like kind of abstract images of like, was that real?
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
And then I was doing loads of festivals, and when I was younger, I really like, I went for festivals. And I mean, I'm glad I did it. I really don't want to do it now.
Yeah.
But I was literally the last man drinking everywhere I went for years.
Yeah.
No. And it was great and it was fun. I made loads of friends, mainly bar staff.
Yeah.
and it was great. But yeah, now it's... it's a blur for a number of different reasons.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, it was amazing. It was a beautiful, incredible thing. And I mean, it's incredible to be able to say that kind of 20 years later, I'm still feeding my family by apparently just goofing around, which is incredible.
We love it. We love it so much. And I guess one of the main things that you were known for back in the day, not just your music, but of course your beautiful dreads. Have you kept them? Do you have any on a wall anywhere?
They're mounted somewhere, predator style.
They're in a drawer. I do need to do something.
Yes!
I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet, but I should.
Wow.
I should do something.
Auction them off for gigs, like whip them into the crowd. People will love that.
I'm not sure. If anyone's ever had a dread just unexpectedly in their face, and I have. It's happened many times.
Yeah.
It's not the best.
So funny.
My friends are coming to the gig at the Barwon Club on Friday, but also coming to see you at Pop Culture on Saturday with Chris. And your song, If This Is It, was their wedding song. And they have the lyrics printed at their workplace, at their home. Yeah. They're obsessed with it. They have vinyl of it. They have everything. Is that just so amazing that you have touched people's lives like that, that the biggest moment in their life and one of them has your backing soundtrack to it?
No, it's incredible. I mean, it's quite hard to make sense of. Because, I mean, these are songs that I either wrote with someone else in like a little writing room or on my own in my pants. Like, it's just such like a... It seems so kind of disparate, the whole thing. From like that process of like, is this good? Is this bad? Is that word good? And all this kind of fiddling around. And then people are like, oh, it's... And I've got a couple of songs that get loads and loads of weddings, which is incredible. And really, like that is a beautiful thing. I've got a couple of songs that get played at a lot of funerals.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting one as well, because that's obviously the other end of the spectrum. No, it's amazing. My favorite thing is when people pick like a really like niche, kind of deep cut, out like hidden in an album somewhere. Like, that's our wedding song. I'm like, good for you. That's cool.
Very nice.
It has the cut through.
Oh, we love it. We can't wait to see it live Friday at the Barwon Club, chasing it up again on Saturday morning at Pop Culture Records. Thank you so much for your time today, Newton. We wish you all the best while you're here.
Absolutely.
Continue the good times rolling.
Well, thank you for having me back.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
I've been swimming a little bit.
We've talked about this.
Yes.
And so, what did you learn? You learned that one lap is one end to the other, not one end to the other and back. We had this conversation.
No, yeah, I know we had this conversation, but I don't still know. I think a lap is up and back, and you're not going to change my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
No, we did, but we officially checked it, and that's the world's perspective.
Oh, funny that, but when you say the word Blundstone instead of Blunstons, we've decided collectively as a group that we're not calling it the right way. We're sticking with what we know.
Well, I think that's a general consensus thing as opposed to just you in the world thinking that a lap is there and back.
But I'm finding out a bit about myself during swimming in the sense that I'm really unfit. Like,
you look so cute with the little nose plug thing on, though.
No, I don't do the nose plug because I don't. That's too much for me.
The cap?
The goggles. Cap? I don't do the cap
you
either.
Don't do the cap.
Do you know what? A lot of people think that the cap keeps your hair dry.
Yeah.
No.
What?
No. A cap is just so that your hair doesn't get caught in your goggles and it doesn't actually keep your hair. It keeps your hair tamed. It doesn't keep your hair dry.
And
it's not a
dry.
Shower. Not a bit dry at all. It's a shower. It's not a shower cap.
5223295 I swear when I used to have hair. Now that was a long time ago, but I swear that no. I wore swimming caps, and it kept my hair dry. 5223295 Does a swimming cap keep your hair dry? I'm happy for it to not be the case.
I used to think it did. I used to think it was like a shower cap.
Look,
but the water gets in.
I don't want to.
Yeah,
I
you
love
do.
You.
No, yeah,
and
you
I
do.
Back you always.
Mm.
But is there a chance you're doing it wrong?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Wearing
I don't
your swimming hat wrong. You're putting it on your head, yeah?
Yes, what?
You're
yes.
You're putting the hair underneath
inside
it.
Inside it. Yes.
Okay, just checking. Just checking.
Well, look, if anyone knows, 522, we've got someone calling right now, Tony. Tony from Corio. You're live on air. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're great. What?
You're going, Captain. Keep your hair dry, the swimming cap does not.
Thank you. Okay.
So what's its job, Tony?
It's purely and utterly there for aerodynamics.
Yes.
So obviously your hair's small little particles, and when you swim through the water, they catch and create friction against the water.
Okay.
Where the swimming cap allows you to slide through. So people like yourself and Michael Phelps that have no hair,
yeah,
don't need to wear the swimming cap.
Smooth as a seal, Tom. You don't need it.
I
but
am. They
I,
call me the seal.
I have much hair dragging me down.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Didn't like the way you said friction.
No, it's fine. Anyway, so you're learning things too.
Yeah.
But you know what I just realised? When you're swimming, because when I was younger, when I was doing swimming lessons, you know when you're younger and someone says something to you and it stays with
oh,
you forever?
Absolutely, yeah.
I remember the swimming teacher in Werribee saying to me, "Stop looking like a worm that's drowning." Because I would go, like, and struggle for air.
Oh, darling.
Yeah, and I was like.
27?
Well, the thing is that that's how I breathe.
It is how you breathe.
So,
I've seen you do it here.
Sorry. But you don't have to say that I look like a worm.
Yeah, I think that's more body stuff.
No,
like,
anyway,
I think
what I've just realised. So when you're doing freestyle, okay, what do you do with your breathing? What do you do if you're free? Talk me through it.
So if I'm swimming, I go face down,
paddle,
left arm again, lift my head.
Yes.
Breathe, face down, paddle, right arm again, breathe.
When you say breathe, talk me through that action.
So I'm lifting my face out of the water.
Yes.
I'm breathing in and then I'm putting my face back underwater and I'm breathing out as I'm underwater.
Okay, so I didn't realise we were doing the breathing out bit underwater. I thought I was going, like, when I turned my head, I thought I was breathing out and in.
Oh.
And then holding it when my head was in the water.
So you're lifting your head out of the water, letting your air out. And then sucking in more air and then holding it for the next three strokes or whatever.
And that's why I was really struggling. And someone said to me the other day, they're like, no, you breathe out as your head's in the water. And I'm like,
just for more oxygen. And then you come back up for more oxygen and then you go, get rid. And then more and then get rid.
So I didn't understand why swimming was so hard for me. Now there's an inkling as to why.
Don't you just use your blowhole?
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
I'd like to ask you a question, Lingy. How many games did you play again?
246.
Oh, I knew that. Thank you, hey, Tommy. I think it took 3.5, 4 years.
Good work. Wow.
246. I think because I usually say, yeah, only 246 when people ask.
Yeah. So, like, seeing Blitz get to 300 this weekend, what, yes. what does that mean for you and your ego?
Oh, no, I love it. Yeah. Love it. It's so good.
It is. And to happen to a nice guy, yeah. which we love to celebrate.
And one of the great stories in footy, because of his background, everybody's heard it so often, was trying to make the Olympics, athletics background, hardly been near a footy. His family are friends with the Guthrie family. Mm-hmm. The Guthrie family, or the Guthrie dad, so Cam and Zach's dad, has basically kind of hinted to Wellesley, hey, you should actually have a look at this guy. Like, he's an amazing athlete. Wellesley's like, yeah, all right. Category B rookie, which means the non-football background, comes down. And I was talking with Nigel Lappin yesterday. He's been at the club for 18 years as a development coach, assistant coach. Said when he first saw Blitz starting to try and kick a ball and move around, if you'd said to him that he was going to be a dual best and fairest, All-Australian, Premiership player and now 300-game player, he would have thought you were bonkers.
Wow. Just looked like a baby draft.
Oh, he said it was so bad. It was all over the shop. And a true story of dedication to learn the game, understand the game, improve himself. And as you said, Log, one of the nicest people too. Like that.
Yeah.
He's one of those glue players who bring all the other players together and is such a quality leader within that group. Mm. It's a great milestone.
Locker room congratulations. Congrats. So exciting.
Yep.
We assume that he's never said anything nasty to a umpire.
Oh, no, isn't this ugly? Because so Zach Butters, effectively last night at the tribunal, he was found guilty, fined $1,500. So
it was a he said situation. Said,
And the tribunal basically said, Zach, you are lying. That's what the outcome is. There can be no other way around it.
Yeah.
We are choosing to believe the umpire.
Right,
and
yeah,
so just explain for those that missed out.
Yeah, so the umpire, Nick Foote, paid. So a free kick had been paid. Something, let's just say something for now, was said by Zach Butters to the umpire. Immediately the umpire said, blow the whistle, 50-metre penalty, and I'm putting you on report for abusive language towards me.
Mm.
Fast forward, it then comes out that that abusive language was more a not necessarily like a swear word.
Mm.
It was, what are they paying you for this? Or something along those lines, questioning the integrity of the umpire. He's getting paid to throw decisions. So that's what was allegedly said.
Mm.
Now, normally in a game, we can verify that straight away because all umpires are mic'd up. Every interaction is heard, except we've got a case of the Watergate tapes where the that exact moment, the audio has disappeared.
And what about people around? Was it just them two or were there other people
well,
around?
Well, so last night at the tribunal, Zach Butters' teammate Ollie Wines was called as a witness. Mm. He was adamant that Zach's questioned something along the lines, again, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, why was that a free kick is what he said.
Uh-huh.
Now, Ollie's probably going to back up his teammate, but he wouldn't just, I wouldn't have thought, out and out lie for his teammate.
Yeah.
Is it an under oath situation at the tribunal?
Like perjury type thing?
The whole truth and nothing but?
I don't know exactly.
You're just an honest guy, so you wouldn't, you know what I mean? But
I suppose people have been creative with the tribunal before, so perhaps not the perjury thing.
I like that.
Actually, your old mate from Essendon, Mark McCurry, smacked me in the back of the head one day early on in my career, and I went in and said, nah, he never touched me.
That's old school, though. That's old school footy rules.
So Zach Butters and Port Adelaide can appeal this now, but it costs $10,000 to appeal, which you get it back if it's successful. But if it's not successful, you lose the 10 grand as well. Zach Butters is fuming about this, and I would be too.
How many games is he out for?
No, it's just a fine. Okay, $1,500 fine.
So it's just a fine. Yeah. Okay,
it's more that he is adamant he did not say what he's alleged to have said.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to fight it because I want to prove that I didn't say that. But there's no way of proving it unless this audio exists somewhere deep within the bowels of certain organisations.
It's a weird one too, because if you hear of someone saying something to an umpire, like the mind, you know, travels and you think, God, what do they say?
Mm.
But that, I'm not saying that you should say things to umpires because obviously without them we wouldn't have a game, right?
We
so you need to respect them and their.
Oh yeah, and no, like the fact that they want to be an umpire in the first place, like that, bravo.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So, but it's like, what are they paying you? Like, is that something? Is there a line of you just cannot say anything to an umpire at all?
No, so that last night on all the footy shows and everything like that, they said, well. Because we can't even get to the stage of a philosophical debate around is that just a cheeky, smart alecky throwaway line to an umpire, or is it genuinely disrespectful and questioning their integrity and it's a direct shot at their character? We can't even get to that because we're purely stuck on the fact that the tribunal has believed the umpire and has basically said that Zach Butters is a liar. So we're kind of still at that debate, saying, should you take the umpire's word over the player's word? Now, some people might say, yeah, because players make stuff up and aren't always honest. But Zach Butters would be fuming, and I feel that he should be fuming.
Mm.
What part of the tribunal process was, sorry to go on about this, was straight after the game, Zach Butters did an interview, I think, or halftime, whatever. He got straight on the front foot and he said in his interview with Xander Maguire, that shouldn't have been a free kick is what I said. And then he said in his evidence, I said, why was that a free kick?
Oh.
And because of the changing of the wording, the tribunal has then said, oh, you've changed your story. I think in an interview immediately after the game, you're just kind of paraphrasing what you said. You're not quoting exactly. So it is a mess. Port Adelaide are angry, really, really angry. Zach Butters is angry. And we don't know where it's going to go. Could be an appeal. It's not – we're not talking a game-changing thing here, but it's just something that is seriously irritating a club and a player. And there's a lot of other players who are pretty annoyed by it as well. The other quick one – Nick Foote actually works for Sportsbet.
I was going to say, I didn't know if that was parody. I'd seen that online.
Nah. Is that a conflict of interest?
Well, he works in the horse race. I think he does stuff on the horse racing side of it, not football at all. But the AFL ticked this off before the season or whenever he took the job, saying he's enough of a professional. He can separate the two.
Okay.
But this is just throwing a little bit more murkiness into the water as well.
Damn, I love it. It's the Real Housewives of the AFL.
Beautiful. Just quickly too, they got Zach Butters. I didn't realise this. Zach Butters, Ollie Wines. If they draft a guy whose surname's Krusty Bread, that's a great... that is a great Saturday night.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.